This is the Take It Easy version of It's Your Thing by the Isley Brothers. Lou Donaldson is out front on saxophone. This was a hit for the Isley Brothers and released as a funk single in 1969. Lou Donaldson, here again on saxophone, recorded it as an instrumental version for his album Hot Dog, which he also released in 1969. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and things are kind of getting a little bit tepid, on the verge of being slightly warm in the political department. When I say political department, I mean people running for office, and of course the highest office in the land. But we'll see how it turns out. And in the meantime, we just need not get excited about anything. I mean, there's nothing to get all excited about. Everything is kind of up in the air, and soon enough, I think it will start cranking up to a full-fledged campaign. But for now, things are kind of loosey-goosey, which is exactly the way they want it. They don't want to be read too early. They don't want to peep their cards too early. So I'm going to ask you another question. We did pretty well with questions yesterday, and we'll see how you do with this one. President Biden and his administration have been concentrating on getting up and running throughout the country a wide range of economic development projects and programs that are meant to address people's pocketbooks and a renewed sense of faith in government. Ex-President Donald Trump, who says he has the best shot Republicans have of regaining power in 2024, is inspiring dramatic conservative changes in state constitutions. Which strategy do you think will win greater voter loyalty in the next presidential election, and why? That's the big question today. We have Biden concentrating. If you notice his behavior, he is trying not to get embroiled and thrown off track. He is following a plan, even if we don't think so. But he's following some kind of a plan. And most importantly, it is to remain calm, do not be drawn into Trump's craziness. Remain calm, remain focused, and remain clued in to what people really need and do your best to deliver. Well, it's up to you to decide how he's doing so far. But that's Biden's strategy, it seems. Just don't get flustered. Stay steady and deal with real life problems people are having, and don't run off the, you know, on the field just talking about yourself and making no sense, really. Just talking about yourself and being a typical Trump. In the meantime, Trump is seeing some results of the seeds that he planted some time ago, turning or attempting to turn the tide around to make America a very conservative country, and to move in that direction wholeheartedly. He wants to convert Republicans. They're not Republican enough, and they're not conservative enough. So that is his plan. He's going to make of this country a very conservative country, operating on good American values. Okay. Now, of the two strategies, which do you think will win greater voter loyalty in the next presidential election? That's the question. 888-874-4888 is the number to call to get us started. And do give us some insights about why you're taking the position that you're taking. What is that position, of course, we want to know, but why you're taking that position? Of course, you could take any position you want. You know, this is the whole point of this exercise, to get us to exercise our brain, our political and analytical brain. And we may hit the mark, we may not. But it's a good idea to give it some air, give it some room in people's minds so that they can say, well, you know, I didn't think about that. Or I disagree entirely with that. In which case, of course, we hope you'll call and tell us why you disagree. 888-874-4888. Ed from LA, is that? Did I see that right? You're on the air.
Thank you, Eutrice. It's been a while since I've called in. Well, the Biden administration's off to a rough start. Right now, at present, they allowed the moratorium on evictions for renters to expire while the Democrats go on vacation. And
let's clean that up. What? It's not for renters to expire. It's for the rentals, the leases to expire.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the leases took. I'm dyslexic, so you'll have to work. I was left back in kindergarten because I couldn't even write my name right. So, yeah, I get my words mixed up sometimes.
You didn't mean that it was about having the renters expire. I just needed to
I'm glad you did. There. Please correct me if I make a misstatement, especially. I don't want people writing into me. So, you know, and I know the focus is on Biden in your question, but Biden represents the Democrats.
The focus is on both of them, actually. Both of them.
Oh, okay, good, 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 because believe me, I have a lot to say about what the Democrats aren't doing. In my present situation, I'm lucky because Heroes of America have granted me rent relief. I couldn't pay my rent last May, and I filed a COVID declaration, but not the Biden administration, not Gavin Newsom, not California, but Heroes of America have granted me rent to help me out. My landlord's excited about it from last May through the end of December. But that has nothing to do with the rest of the people who aren't being granted that. I won a lottery to get that. So Governor Newsom's moratorium expires at the end of September, and the federal moratorium has already expired because the Supreme Court overturned the eviction moratorium that the Biden administration said the CDC was going to enforce. I knew that wasn't going to last because the CDC has no authority in people's private property. So that was a no-brainer that the Supreme Court was going to overturn that. But what did the Democrats do? They were on vacation. The other thing is unemployment benefits expired on Labor Day. Labor Day of all days for unemployment benefits to expire. So, you know, I don't know about Trump and 2024 because I still say a lot of people hate Trump and will not want to vote for him. But at the same time, I'm wondering about 2022 when the Republicans and the Democrats go up for congressional seats and Senate seats. And I have my doubts about Democrats retaining control of all three branches because of what's going on now, which is nothing. They're not doing anything to help the American people. So I'm not affected by whatever Biden's doing. So all of the things I'm getting right now because of my financial troubles, the state's giving me, whether it's food stamps or emergency broadband, or like I said, rent relief, nothing to do with Biden. He hasn't done anything. So that's my take on it.
Okay. Could you see right through that, though, that in a sense, you're being bought?
Oh, absolutely. Even with the recall with Governor Newsom, there's a deception there. I mean, the deception was Governor Newsom was always telling people, we're going to give $600 stimulus payments to low-income people. That's me. I've never gotten a stimulus payment. You know why? Because I didn't read the fine print. You know what the fine print is? You gotta have a job, a low wage job, and you have to have been working. You can't be collecting Social Security like I'm collecting. So you have to have been working. That's the fine print. That's what I read. So all those people getting $600 stimulus payments are people working. But anybody who's just collecting Social Security, they're not getting those stimulus payments. And there's like four of them. I could have used a $600 stimulus payment. I mean, I've been food insecure here at times because your food stamps only, they run out by the middle of the month if you eat organic and you eat responsibly. So, yeah, there's a deception going on with the Democrats. They lie. They lie to get your votes. And he's got a recall coming up, Governor Newsom now. And, you know, I'm weighing, I don't give you 2 cents for the people running against him. But at the same time, I say he's a deceptive person. So I don't even know if I'm going to vote in this recall because I don't like anybody.
Wow. Have you been in this spot before? Have you been in the situation before where you just don't like anybody who's running or who might be running?
Yes. In 2020, I mean, the election, I didn't like anybody there. So the only person I really liked, and unfortunately she was out of the debates early, but she really had something to say, was Marianne Williamson, who created the Meals on Wheels programs for AIDS patients. She was one of the greatest people we had running. But, of course, she's not popular. And Biden was selected. He wasn't voted in. I mean, he was losing every primary known to person, and all of a sudden he rises up like a beanstalk. So, you know, he was selected. And that phony impeachment of Trump to cover up the Hunter Biden money laundering scandal, you know, he was selected. And, you know, that both parties are bought and sold by the corporate state, unfortunately. And that's who always wins. They always make out in every election. The corporate state always gets more power and more money.
What is your choice going to be? How do you live with yourself in this election cycle? What will your choice be?
Not to vote for these people. And I'm actually enticed. I'm curious about the party that Jimmy Dore is part of, which is the People's Party. I'm going to do more research on them. They were supposedly out on Labor Day on Capitol Hill protesting, and I know the Democrats weren't protesting with them. So I'm more inclined to join that party, the People's Party, and see what they're about, because I like what he's saying. I like what they're saying. And they're speaking my language because they already know. And they've talked about the Democrats. And that's where I got my information from Jimmy Dore, that Alonzo Ocasio-Cortez was out there protesting with people and saying to people, saying, what about the moratorium on evictions? We're going to fix that. We're going to fix that. And she's waving people off. And what about that 10% that the moratorium doesn't cover? And as soon as that question was asked, the music got turned up and everybody was dancing and everybody, so they didn't even answer that question. So, I mean, you know, and Jimmy Dore has this, and I hear this on YouTube, and then the next day YouTube flags that video and says, we're going to protect Democrats. We're not going to allow Jimmy Dore to attack Democrats. So YouTube takes a political stance. So, you know, bought and sold. Everybody's bought and sold.
I'm enthralled about in your presentation is you being practical, but you're not being fooled. You're not being conned. You know exactly what your alternatives are, and you may very well pursue those alternatives, even though you may get a helping hand from another party or another individual. You're very clear about what your interests are, and in the broader sense, what the people's interests are, and you will vote accordingly.
And now I must go for my power walk.
Okay.
Thank you so much for getting us started today.
That was a good start, and I thank you for it. Thanks for calling in. Thank you so much
for all you do. Take care.
Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air. What's going on with this political season here? What do you get from Biden? What do you get from Trump?
Well, greetings, you, Teresa. Hope all is well with you. I'm starting to think that, you know, Trump is going to win 2024. And
I wouldn't sleep tonight.
I know. But, you know, sometimes, and here's the thing. So I've been wrong before, and I hope I'm wrong again, because I did say that Trump was going to win in 2020. But it just seems like the Democrats and Biden, they're just so lackadaisical with what they're doing. I think the last caller, you know, Ed, had just stated how the Democrats are on vacation. We got all these problems going on. But what is unique about this particular administration, and probably the biggest reason why they're going to lose, is that they're not establishing any policies right now that is going to go beyond their administration. So right now they're just paying off this and paying off that, but nobody's, Biden or anybody in that administration is not establishing any long-term policies. And you have to look at the past couple of administrations when you're talking about Obama and his, you know, healthcare reform. Now, mind you, it doesn't benefit the regular people, but at the same time, it's a policy that affects us today. You know, Trump and his tax reforms that, you know, that is like skyrocketed my tax bill, you know, by I don't know how many percentage points, but it's still, you know, a policy that has, you know, that has affected the people past their administrations. You got three branches of the government who is in Democratic hands, and they have yet to form any particular policies or have any plans to form any particular policies that is going to go past, you know, this election cycle. So the lackadaisicalness of the Democrats is going to get them, you know, get them kicked out, not only in the White House in 2024, but also in the congressional seats in 2022.
Ooh, you are predicting some dire things here. This is a massacre that you're expecting to happen politically. Let me ask you, are you appreciating how politics works? Are you appreciating the fact that people are super stressed? They are very doubtful about their future. They don't know where the country is going. And they will take something concrete, at least what they consider to be concrete, money in their hands, programs that solve problems that they've been waiting to get solved for a long time. They'll settle for that and deal with other things later. But the times are so rough, they do not have the luxury of waiting to see how a long-term basis things will work out. They don't have that time. They don't have that faith. Are you appreciating that?
I'm not sure if appreciation, at least from my perspective, is the word to use in those regards, because these are just temporary fixes. And these are
they're temporary fixes that people are grateful for. And that's why they have been offered. The politicians and their advisors know people will clutch, a drowning man, they say, would clutch at a straw. And maybe one of the tactics is give them as many straws as possible. They may probably think that some one of these straws could save them.
But you know, just as the last caller was saying how there was an organization, I don't know about that organization, but he said it's not attached to, you know, the main political players or entities that is running the country today. But, you know, even he stressed, you know, in his call that there was an organization that helped him pay the rent, you know, in May. But, you know, obviously he's not giving credit to any of the people who are in power right now to, you know, to helping him pay the rent. So I think people are starting to realize that this is not going to last forever. And eventually there's going to be a point where this stuff that, you know, that they're giving out, you know, right now is going to end. So I think people are starting to open their eyes and starting to realize, okay, what are the long-term solutions for this? Because obviously you can give me a couple of dollars here and there to survive for the next year or so, but what's going to happen afterwards? And I think people are looking ahead
to
that.
I'll take your money. I'll take your help. I'll take whatever it is you're offering that benefits me, but don't misinterpret it that you have bought me. You haven't.
Yeah, I think that's what most people, at least the people around my circle, is getting at. And don't get me wrong, there are people out here who need these programs right now. But at the same time, there are people who are looking, not only looking at their immediate future because of the fact that they need this money, but how are they going to maintain this once the government cuts this off? Because they're predicting
the big puzzle right now. I mean, they're glad for the help, but you're absolutely on point about what is going to happen in the future, in the very near future. How am I going to survive? How am I going to live? You make a fantastic point.
This is the question Black people have been wondering about for years. So now it's affecting the whole country and everybody, including white people and other
everybody's
people.
Everybody's Black now.
Yeah, that's Black now.
Everybody's thinking Black. That you're absolutely right. But in the meantime, as things develop, or as you see things developing, what are they developing into? A Republican, a successful Republican challenge by Trump? Or will Biden squeak through?
You know, Biden, you know, we all have our questions if Biden is even going to survive his term. Obviously, and you know, I don't wish death on anybody, but you know, when you are in at his age bracket and taking a position that we have seen over the years that has aged people for 20 years, you know, in the 4 to 8 years that they've served, it's just not going to do him any good. And like I said, I mean, personally, I don't like Biden. I hope he does survive, but you know, it's just, you know, we see what's going on. And then even if he does survive, is he going to be mentally capable of even answering questions from the media?
Did you say that?
Is he going to be mentally capable
you're today, Henry? You're getting very rough.
But
is he going to survive?
It's the reality, you know. Is he going to even be mentally capable to answer questions in the last year of his term, you know? So everybody's pinning their hopes on Kamala Harris, and I just don't feel like she has the support and even the energy to win the presidency in 2024. And this is why, and I'm glad you're bringing up Trump, because I feel that he is opening a door right now for his possible reelection.
So will you be moving to what country after 2024?
Oh, my God. I am just hoping that the people have awoke, as the famous quote is now, have awoken to realize that this duopoly that is going on right now is not for them. And hopefully by 2024, they have had enough, and many people have, you know, either checked out of the two-party system and have gone to either a third party or have somehow just decided not to participate in this whole sham of a process.
All right. Well, thank you for your insights, even though you kind of scared us a little bit there. But thank you for that, just the same. Thank you very much, Henry, for your call today. 888-874-4888. We see on Biden's side that he's concentrating on bread and butter issues, that people, hopefully, at least this is what he's hoping, will remember that he worked very hard to, you know, allow them to continue to live, even in dire straits. It's not perfect, but it is a lot better than what could have been and still could be. He's working hard. A lot of money being spent, a lot of effort being made to keep people somewhat stable. Trump, on the other hand, is saying, you haven't seen the last of me. I am coming back. I have already begun in the background to change things in the court system, to affect voting, to affect all kinds of laws. We had just yesterday a law passed that said that that completely reorganized laws concerning when a woman may have an abortion. This didn't come up 2 years ago, but it's very much a topic of discussion now. And there is a sense, an unapologetic sense, that the country needs to move more and more to the right. This is the psychological precedence that they're trying to set, that we've had enough, and we should have had enough of the left to make us appreciate the common sense values of the right. So we have those two dynamics working, and don't be surprised if, Trump's appeal, despite outrageous stuff that he has done, may gain more traction. You never know. But we will see how people are feeling. 888-874-4888. Which way is the tree bending for you? Which way is it going for you? Are you prepared to stay the course that you have stayed so far? Are you going to go Democrat again? Are you tempted to switch out and take the other party on as a place where you can find political solace, that you've made the right decision? I don't know. But it's important that you think about these things, so let us know. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. What is your thought?
Hey, good afternoon, Chief. How are you?
I'm okay, Ed. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it.
There are a lot of people who would question that. A lot of people say, no, she's not okay. She hasn't been okay in years. But okay. Let's get to your analysis.
I share that view by a couple of people in my circle, too. So don't feel alone. pertaining to your question. Well, I mean, there's a couple of things you got to take into account. Biden, like it's been stated, Biden was selected. He wasn't so much elected. He was, like one of your callers stated prior, he was failing in every poll. Then all of a sudden he popped up as the logical choice to, as the righteous choice to the orange head psychotic. So that being said, the state the economy is in, the state this country is in, Biden is doing exactly what he has to do because this country is in a state of decline. We have the rent moratorium, we have unemployment, we still have the offshoots of this variant with the coronavirus that is really affecting the economy. There's an increase in savings. There is a lack of trusting in the economy, in the marketplace. So people are holding on to their money. They're reticent going back to work. So Biden is doing what he has to do to maintain the status quo and to maintain the republic at large. I don't think the Biden team is looking at reelection or anything like that. I think they're doing triage. They're trying to get through moment by moment. We've got floods in places that there never was. We've got record rainfalls. We got wildfires. We got the variant viruses. We still have debate as to whether these vaccines are going to be efficacious in the future. So the Biden administration is trying to do triage. I don't think they're looking at any type of long range goal. Historically, when one party has won the White House, the other party has taken over the Congress in the by-election. So that being said, I don't see the Democrats making any inroads as far as increasing their presence on Capitol Hill because they're not united. So, as far as Trump is concerned, we still have the Electoral College. So the presidential campaign is still a numbers game. And Trump is playing to his base. He's trying to bring out those people that didn't vote the last time or bring out the numbers so he can get in key states and win those key states and possibly win the election. As long as we don't address this racist capitulation that is the Electoral College, we'll never have a fair presidential election, and it'll always be a numbers game. So I think Biden is trying to keep the vote afloat, and Trump is just doing what Trump does. He's playing to his base. He's got his judges in place. He's got his key players in place. He has taken over the Republican Party, and he's hoping on another numbers game win.
But Biden is hoping that sentimentality might pull him through. If people remember that he was a caring president, that he took care of some of the basics, that life would have been just unlivable without the financial aid he was able to deliver, that he worked hard to do that, that he brought all these different factions within the Democratic Party together, and he delivered. He delivered significantly. The various programs that he has, the trillions of dollars that will be spent, these are major accomplishments. Especially in hard times. Why are you discounting that?
I got to disagree with you. He didn't deliver. I mean, the fight for 15 never took place. The mortgage or rent moratorium, that was basically a dog and pony show. One of your callers said it. What about the 100 million people that weren't that didn't fall under the moratorium? That was all a Democratic dog and pony show. 15 people sleeping on the steps, going on vacation. I mean, all of the things that he promised that he was going to do, he didn't do. We didn't get extra stimulus checks. I mean, the trillions of dollars in infrastructure are necessary for this country. I mean, especially you could take, for example, in New York. All of those floods happened because half of the subway, half of the sewer systems are over 100 years old. And with people cutting up single-family houses and areas that were for single-family houses and cutting them up, making basement apartments, making extra dormers on their house to help them pay the mortgage, it overtaxed the sewer system. And that's why those people died, because the sewer system, which is 100 years old, which is in areas that is zoned for single-family houses, now you have a single-family house that has over two or three families in it. You got like 10 or 15 people in a house that was geared for three or four people. That overtaxes the sewer system that has never been upgraded. So the infrastructure changes, that trillion of dollars is necessary irregardless. And who's going to benefit that? Not the common man, the big business, the contractors, the large corporations. That's where that money's going to. It sounds
yes, but I'm talking about how politics works. Politics doesn't work the way it works for you, where you are, I mean, you studying things, you analyzing mm-hmm. things. That is yeah. not how the vast majority of people deal with politics and political choices. They deal from an emotional point of view, for the most part, I think, where they remember somebody doing something good for them and for their community. They remember a program or a project that was successful and came in right on time. They remember these things. And it carries a lot of weight. And it actually cancels out all the other things that they normally would have time to look at and be critical about. But they tend to focus whatever works best, whatever is the loudest program that Biden can boast about, that is what is going to be put before the people in order to remember and therefore respond with their votes.
I hear what you're saying, but there's two things with that. Number one, timing in America is everything. You know, if you present an idea at the wrong time, it doesn't take off. So timing, when are they going to present these monumental things that he allegedly has done? And number two, people are becoming more educated voters, and they're looking at the big picture. We're in a state of crisis here. I personally believe this empire is in a state of decline. People are not going back to work. People are worrying about viruses. There's mental stresses that are going on that go far beyond the gestural politics of the Democrat or Republican Party. So, you know, I don't think you can put too much stock in grand gestures. People want to see things immediately that affect their immediate environment, but they want to see long-term plans so they don't have to suffer and always be up against it every other time you look. I think that's going to play a part in the upcoming election. People aren't being duped as much as they like easily with this political game. They're seeing the fact that what's coming out more and more, especially in circles I deal in, people are seeing that both of these parties do not have the common man's interest at heart.
Well, that brings us to a very interesting point. In that case, where people don't see much of a difference between the two parties, do you see any movement toward something else, something new?
Well, not on a national level. I've always said it, W.C. Fields said it, all politics is local. And if you look around the city, you look around the local movements, like the other gentleman was talking about and called in earlier, the veterans movement that helped him pay his mortgage, those little nonprofits, those organizations, local organizations, community organizations, are starting to play a part in filling places where the government has not. And I think that's where the movement is going to come from. It's going to be slow, and it's going to be in really grassroots. And it's not going to put the national front. I mean, people are becoming very disheartened and disillusioned with these national politics. And they're getting tired of these cult of personalities and AOCs and Chuck Schumer and all of this and gestural politics. We need something foundational. We need something that's going to move us into the 22nd, the 23rd, 24th, you know, into the next millennium and beyond, into the next decade and beyond. And these people are not getting it. These people just don't have it.
Thank you for, you made strong points that people should consider. Thank you so much for that. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, John, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. You know, if Ed started a party, I would vote for him in a heartbeat. It sounds like a young man, but I don't think he is. He's way too smart to be a young man. I thought you were going to steal my thunder. What we need is a third party. We need a third party. We need a party that's truly for the people, not a party that's for big business and war. We need to have some honesty. I think we should roll out, it might be a mock, but I think we should roll out a guillotine to let these people in this country know that if they're in politics and we catch them doing something wrong, they're going to pay dearly. They're going to pay twice as hard as the average Joe Blow who gets caught, you know, joyriding in a car. We have to stop this. They have carte blanche. They can do and say whatever they want. It's pure insanity.
As things are shaping up right now, and we're seeing it come together very slowly, maybe. It's getting together slowly, but it's beginning to take shape. Trump has positioned himself as the guy who has been tested and should be trusted again as a Republican candidate. And we have, on the other side of that, we have Joe Biden saying, you should re-elect me because of all these wonderful things that I've done and achieved in my first term. Give me a second term. Where do you think people are headed on that? And where are you personally headed in terms of that choice?
First of all, I am so disappointed in Joe Biden. I reluctantly voted for him because there was no one else. That alone is enough reason for everybody in this country to be afraid. We have our biggest organizations are all in uniform, and half of them are not smart enough to even know what the Constitution is about. That's the thing that we should be all standing up for, not a particular political party or a lean one way or the other. It's the Constitution. That's what we all have to live by, and that's what we should swear our allegiance to, and to the republic for which it stands. That's what it is. Another thing, democracy. There's democracy. There is no such thing as democracy. It's a republic. Get used to it, people. You have to, like, share and share alike if you want to get along without killing each other. That's the bottom line. We need to stop this insanity about poisoning the plants and the trees and the animals and air and the water and all this other stuff. People have to use their hands and feet and legs again. Everything can't be done by a computer.
But John, you're not answering my question specifically. So I'll frame it differently.
You always ask me those tough questions, but go ahead.
I mean, I understand your passion about it. One can't escape that. You're very passionate about it. But as things are shaping up, they're beginning to shape up, it looks like Trump is going to sell the public or the voters that he has already done a lot for the country and he wants to do more, and just give him the chance, he will do more. And Biden is saying, look at all the things that I have produced and helped you with through a very rough time. Okay. Let's say those are the two big arguments.
Which way
do you go?
What has she done and what has Trump done? As far as I'm concerned, they've done nothing. They've only created problems.
Well, he has changed the court.
He's introduced
more conservatism.
For the worst.
Many of the institutions that he has changed or caused changes in many of the national institutions. He's gotten
which
a lot done
about,
for
Trump
the wealthy.
Trump
he's
about
done
Joe?
A lot.
Who's he? Is he we're talking about Trump?
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe I haven't been paying attention. But this guy, you can't change your colors that quickly. You know, you can't say one thing and then do another and then turn around and do something that's good. The guy has a reputation of being a thief, about a welcher, somebody who like hires people to do jobs and then doesn't pay them and tells them, go ahead, sue me, because he knows that he's been sued so many times, he knows how to roll with the suing punches. We need honesty. That's what we need, honesty. That's if we could get people to be honest, boy, we'd we be great. The whole world would be great. It wouldn't be. I know.
If we could get people to be honest, that's all
dream,
you want.
You know, but if you don't have dreams, then what do you have? You know.
Okay, John. I expect
Listen,
to hear
happy
from
that,
you
I'm happy
in
that
the
you're
very near future,
that maze.
And you'll tell us whether you're changing your mind or whether you have come up with a different formulation about what you're going to be doing in terms of making a political choice this year. But thank you so very much for your participation today. Thank you.
My advice to everyone is to try not to get arrested, okay? You have a good day.
Try not to get arrested. Okay. Thank you. Brother David, you're back.
Yes, thank you very much. I was reconnected. You know, I've got an opinion I want to express on this. You know, people have to understand that essentially Trump and Biden are on the same side. They are there to work for the people who own the country. And the people have to understand that this country has a mission. It's not in the Constitution. Those are nice words. But the mission of the country, whether you're talking about the Republicans or the other Republican Party called the Democrats, that Republican right, their mission is to serve the interests of the ruling elite that run the country at all levels, state, local, national. And that's their real mission. In terms of the people, those who rule don't really care anything about the masses, the common people. It's just a matter of keeping them in check, doing what you have to do.
You have to come a little bit clearer on the question about how things are shaping up between Biden and Trump. What does this mean for the political contest?
Well, it means that Trump is going to see the infrastructure that he set in place before he left and appeal to his base. And he's able to manipulate that base who, I would say, are not the ruling class people, but he's able to manipulate well enough to control folks, and they're going to be around. Now, Biden, he's more to the left than the right-wing Republicans. But yet again, Biden works for those who rule, too. That's his history. So in terms of who wins, the next time Trump comes around, he's supposedly headed for the 24th. When that comes up, you know, we don't know who's going to win. So this is a job of how well either Trump or Biden can play the people, because this is all about how you play people for your own advantage, and that is how the whole place runs. You have to play the people, and they're so good at it, divide and conquer, divide and rule, and who does that best is the one who will win. And that's the way I look at it. You're going to win when you play the people well enough.
Thank you very, very much for your contribution today and always, as a matter of fact. Patricia, you're on the air. What say you about how things are shaping up?
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I don't think I have good news, because unfortunately I'm going to have to agree with both Ed and with Henry, because the problem is that Trump has in his back pocket not only those who the corporate elite who control the company, this country, but he also has those individuals, those poor folks to whom he is engaging in race-based politics. You know, that old saying that, you know, if you can pick the pocket of the poorest man and make him believe that he is better than the strongest black person, then you have him for life. So he has managed to unify not only the corporate elite, but that poor guy in Appalachia who doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. And if you look at who controls this, the information in this country, six companies control the information that people consume. And I was reading an article the other day, and they were literally comparing the viewership of CNN, MSNBC, and Fox. And I can tell you, in the demographics that matter, either by age, that 18 to 54 coveted demographics, Fox News beats everybody. And not only do they beat them in age, but they beat them in time slots from 6 a.m. to midnight. So when people are literally going to have to experience such pain, and I mean real pain. They're homeless. They're in the streets. They're in the snow. They're being beaten up by the rain. They're hungry. They're starving. People are going to have to get to the Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. And only then will people turn. But until people experience that level of pain, Trump's got it hands down.
Wow. Wow. Hands down, you say?
Hands down. I mean, look the two communities who have nothing in common, the corporate elite and that poor guy in Appalachia, and he has managed to unify them both.
Wow. That's a whole new slant on things, but it is shocking, and it is something that we have to study a bit more. But you make a very, very strong point. Thanks so much for contributing today. Thank you all for contributing. And we'll be talking more about the election as it shapes up, what we are determining, what the key factors are going to be, and how we see ourselves. Do we see ourselves as factors in this election? Are we influencing anybody? Are we calling attention to critical issues that people should remember to pay attention to? We don't know, but we'll know when we start talking. And this is just one step in that direction. Thank you all for your thoughtful analysis today. That brings us to the end of our program. Let's get together tomorrow and talk some more. Bye-bye.